Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, blessed for another day. Another day to be with you. Another day that God has given me of life. So I thank God for this new month. Hallelujah. We have made it into the second month of the year. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us another day and another month. So on this February 1st day, I just say the Lord will fight for you. And you shall hold your peace. Hallelujah. That is our word from this morning. And it is coming out of Exodus chapter 14, which we will be reading today. So we have Exodus chapter 13 to 14, Psalm 18, verses 13 through 19. So 18 Psalm, verses 13 through 19. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, and Matthew chapter 21. Thanking God for our word this morning. Mother Valerie is on with us again today. Thanking God for her as co-host. And she will be our Old Testament reader this morning. She will be reading Exodus chapter 13 and 14 for us today. So, Mother, Exodus chapter 13 and 14, and then I will be coming back with our Psalm, Proverbs, and Matthew 21. So, but let us pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, lifting up the name of Jesus, asking you, Lord God, to increase as you decrease, asking you, Lord God, to allow this word to go forth, and may that it touch ears that need to hear it, God. Those that need to hear it, may they hear it. May they open their minds and their hearts to you, Jesus. So, Father God, we're asking that as this word goes over the skyways, byways and highways, God, that someone hearing it will be saved. If they do not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. Father God, I pray this word that you, Lord God, increase as I decrease. That the words in my mouth and the meditation of my heart, as I pray every day, will be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, Lord God. And you are my Redeemer, Lord Jesus. And it's in your name that I pray, lifting up this word, asking you, Lord God, to cover it with your blood and speak through us today, Lord God. If someone hears this word again, we'll be saved. And Lord God, as I go forth in this word, I pray also for our world, asking you to cover Christians who are being persecuted, covering our young women who are being murdered because they won't wear a hijab in Iran and in other Arab nations. Lord God, I'm praying for young women who are just wanting freedom to be themselves. I ask you, God, to watch over them and bless them. God, I pray this morning also for those that are homeless because it is so cold, Lord God. I pray that you give them shelter this week. In Jesus' name. Again, lifting up this word, giving it to you, and thanking you, Lord, for your mercy, for your goodness, for your kindness. And Lord, I will hold my peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning again. Good morning again. Thanking God for for all of you. Thank you, God, for this great word. Thank you, God, for this awesome woman of God that I'd like to present to some and introduce to others. Good morning, Mother. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm good. God is good.
Hallelujah. It is good to hear your voice today as we move forward in God's word. And I know that God has given you also a rhema word to speak of your scriptures that you are reading today. You know, when I got to this word and I was reading it, and it talked about the Lord telling Moses, and Moses said to the people to not be afraid. We have so many walking in fear today. Fear of everything. Fear of the flu. Fear of somebody killing them. Fear of this. Fear. Fear is a trick of the enemy. We have to walk in faith. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And that is what we must do. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. I'm believing God for some miracles. I'm believing God for signs and wonders. I'm believing God that all things work for good, my good, and the good of those that I know and love. I'm thanking God today. And it goes on to tell us, whew, hallelujah, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. And so many times we want to jump in where we don't need to jump in, Mother. We want to jump in and take over God's place. We got to learn to be quiet sometimes and that we got to let people be who they are. Adults, children are children. Adults are adults. And we got, just because we lead them, we can't always try to be their mothers and their fathers. We have to be the people that lead, but not leading by making people feel bad about themselves. We got to make people understand and guide people to the Lord through love and kindness. So thanking God for his love, thanking God for all of you, thanking God for this wonderful woman of God who loves to read the word of God just like I do. So I'm all excited and I'm very thankful that God has sent my co-host. So presenting to some, introducing to others, Minister Mother Valerie Bell, who is our Old Testament reader for this morning. Thank you, God, for your mother. I turn it over to you.
Exodus 13:1-14:31. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both the man and beast, it is mine. Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten on this day you are going out in the mouth of Abia. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of Canaan and the Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey. You shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. You shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. It should be as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of Canaan, as he swore to you and your fathers, gives it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that is, every firstborn that comes from an animal, which you have, the male shall be the Lord. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of men among your sons you shall redeem. So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this that you shall say to him? By strength, the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of men and the firstborn of beasts. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my son I redeem, to be as a sign on your hand and as frontlets between your eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh let the people go, that God did not leave him by way of land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, least perhaps the people change their mind when they see war, return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under Solomon's oak, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Elam at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pihon between Midah and the sea opposite Baal Zephah. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot, took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued the children of Israel. Children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zebah. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were afraid. They were afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt so with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness? And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall not see again, no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. For lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground, on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptian shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came before the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other. So the one did not come near to the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go black by a strong east wind that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry land. And the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning's watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud. And he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariots' wheels. So they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them. The Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots, on their horsemen. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared and the sea returned to its full depth, when the Egyptians were fleeing into it, so the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned, covered the chariots, horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained, but the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt, so that the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's just amazing when you think about God and who God is. You can't defy God, because God is God, and he will have his way. Anything he says will come to pass, told Moses.
Amen.
And the Lord said to Moses, why you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. He told Moses, don't be crying to me. And the life lessons for today, these perhaps the people change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. Our God is a practical God. He deals with us according to our nature, so he will always lead us in a way appropriate to us. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. When we personally know the Lord, we never need to feel in dark in how we follow him. God provides everything we need for life in him. And that includes illumination of the path before us. I mean, God came. Can you just look out to wonder and see God in the clouds, and then at night in fire. And the two were separated, one on one side, the Egyptians, and one on the other side, Israel. And they couldn't see each other because God was there. And the thing about it, if you think about it, I think I got it right, 365 times in the Bible, it'll say, don't be afraid. Do not fear. Do not fear, because God is with you. And with us, God is in us. We don't have to be afraid. That's just like Peter. Peter said, Lord, is that you? God, Jesus was walking on the water. And Peter said, Lord, is that you? Bid me to come. And he said, boy, come on out here on this water. And Peter walked on water. But then he got afraid. He
he saw the winds and everything was just looking fearfully and boisterously, and he got afraid, and he went down. He started sinking. He was sinking because he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he was doubting, and he was scared, and he said, "Lord, save me." And God took his hand, raised him up. He said, "Why did you fear? Oh, you fearful people." I mean, we are always afraid, but God is with us. Angel of God, God is with us. He protects his people. He always do and always will. Exodus 4 and 2. Speak to the children of Israel that they should camp before it by the sea. Sometimes the Lord personally leads us into situations that look dreadful, not only to test our faith, but also to show his power and complete control over a situation. Wherever he leads, we must follow. Throughout the scriptures, we read the phrase, "Do not be afraid." It is God to refrain to his people, whatever their circumstances, for he has promised to save and deliver us. God promised. And you know what? God cannot break his word. When he says something, it's got to come to pass. God promised. He promised that he will deliver us. And he will. He's given us salvation. He's given us the Spirit. And he tells us all the time, don't be afraid, little children. We are his children. And just like if you are a parent, which I am, and if your child is afraid, you will comfort that child and tell the child, "I'm right here, baby. I'm here." You know, children are very fearful. In the night, sometimes they think they see monsters after you don't put them in the bed, and something is up under my bed, and they scream and they holler. And mama is right there to let them know, just like our God is right there to let us know, there's nothing to be afraid of. Don't fear. I love it when Jesus was walking on the water and told Peter, "Come on, boy, you can walk on water." That's if you hold on. You can't do it by yourself. I can't do nothing by myself. Nothing. But I can do all things through Christ. I can. I really can. But I can't do it on my own. You have to hold the hand of the Lord. Let him lead you. Because once you stop holding on to Jesus, you can't do anything. Your strength is in God. Jesus is your rock. He's your strength. He's your everything. Like Pastor said, Jesus is everything. And once we let go, then we fall. We can fall down seven times. Seven times 70, seven times you can fall down 100 times. You can fall down, but get up again. Get back up, because Jesus will raise you back up if you call on him. All you got to do is say, "Jesus, Jesus." That's just like the accident that Pastor had. And she said, "Jesus, Jesus." God turns everything around that quickly. If you call on his name, he will not let you down. Just call on the name of Jesus. Jesus. Mm. And when you can't say anything else, you can say Jesus, because sometimes you can't even think of nothing but that one word. Mm. That one word, so much power. There's power in the name of Jesus. Over
yes,
and over
is. Again. Demons flee. Demons flee, mother, Jesus. With that name. Whew.
Jesus. Jesus. Mm. If you can't think of nothing else, Jesus. I know I had a car accident in Los Angeles, and that's all I could think. Lord, help me. You can say, "Lord, help me," or "Jesus, Jesus," and you will see everything change with power in the name of Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word and the hearers.
Amen.
Amen.
Whew. All right. And, you know, I love when Mother, you know, our chapter for today's lesson, as far as our word for the day, is do not be afraid, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. But, you know, the word that God gave us is the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. We got to learn how to keep our tongues behind our teeth, because once you call on the name of Jesus, don't go and try to do your own thing. Let God help you. Let Jesus cover you. Let his blood cover you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, because your salvation comes from Jesus. And I tell you, Mother, as you were speaking in my class with this, as I'm going over, I went up and over. And all I could say was, Jesus. And that I felt like this arm came around me. And I know that the world would say, well, that wasn't nothing but your seatbelt. But I know it was the hand of Jesus. I know I was in his loving arms. And as I was, I felt like I was being wrapped in these very strong arms. And then when I went down and the airbag deployed, but it was way before the airbag deployed, I felt like a pillar just surrounded me. And I can only say thank you, Lord, for another day. We can't waste our time. We got to give it to the Lord and do what God calls us to do. Whatever your calling is, just do it. We got to have that Nike switch in our life. I got to just do it. As you look at your mountains and you keep trying to avoid going around them, you're like, I really don't want to have to dig through this mountain. You're going to have to dig someday and go through it. God will be with you. Hallelujah. And for those that are just joining us, as Mother was reading her life lessons for this morning, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And as I stated earlier, I am not paid by InTouch. We get no money from anything. This is all voluntary, to introduce you to this Bible. And I tell you, this is one of the best Bibles to have in your biblical arsenal for a one-year Bible study. It is awesome. And I tell you, God is in the midst of this word. So keep trusting God. Keep believing in God and know that he's got you covered from your crown to your feet, and that he will go before you. Just hold your peace and let God do what God does. And please join me in the 18th Psalm, verses 13 through 19. And it says, the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the lightning in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channel of the sea was seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, but they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Ooh, what a word. You know, the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstone and coals of fire. And we know that was also one of the plagues of Egypt. You know, he scattered the foe, lightning in abundance, and he vanquished them. You think about it. You walking through the sea on dry land, water all up around you. And I'm sure they looked in and they could see the fish. They could see, you know, all of the maybe a shrimp or a lobster or a crab. But they could see probably many, many fish, and might have even seen a big fish like a whale. So all these things in the water just beside them as they walking through. I'm sure it was like walking in an aquarium, and I'm sure they were like amazed as they looked around themselves. but I know they was probably moving real fast, too, because Moses didn't pray, because they knew they had to get to the other side before the Egyptians caught up with them. And then when they all, everyone, man, woman, child, animal, everything is on dry land, the sea closed up on Pharaoh's army. Hallelujah. God will do it. God will do it. You know, I always love to listen to the song, Mary, Don't You Weep, even though it's not in, it's out of biblical context, because Mary is in the New Testament crying over her brother Lazarus, and Pharaoh's army closed by the Red Sea is in the Old Testament. But we still got to tell Mary, don't weep, because God's got you covered, and we can't weep either. But God's got us covered as well. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. Go to the ant, you further. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. You cannot sleep through your life. A man that does not work does not eat. You got to go to work. You got to do something. Because when you get too old to work, what will you do? You know, we got to pray for God to unharden hearts when it comes to people that are poor. But we also have to pray to God that those that can work will go work. Because if you are able-bodied, you need to get a job. Whatever kind of job you need to get a job. Because we need to go to work. We cannot just let somebody lay around your house and not have a job. My sons both know you got to work. You got to work. You know, you got to bring your money in. Because households don't run themselves. We have got to teach our children to work. Because even ants go to work. Come on now. Even ants go to work. I was like, Lord have mercy. I had some black ants that decided they liked my house because it was so cold outside. And I would look up and there would be a black ant here. And then it was not all of them, not a whole bunch, except for one day I had left my drink sitting and looked up and the black ants had got all over my cup. I was upset. I got inside my coffee. I'm like, Lord, where y'all come from? And so I had to hunt down where these ants was coming from. I still didn't find it, but I sure did put down some ant traps. Because I'm like, no, you can't invade my home. You got your own. But I guess they said, well, yours is warmer. But, you know, I haven't seen them since, so thank you, Lord. Because I had to pray the babies out. You know, because they weren't no little bitty tiny ants. These were them big old ginormous ants. And I'm like, but then somebody said that large black ants are luck, are a blessing. It's not luck, because I don't believe in luck. I believe in God. But they may bring blessings into your home. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you for the blessings. And if your ants are assigned, then I know I got to go to work. Hallelujah. Because they work, I got to work too. So as we go forth in our New Testament word, Jesus is getting close to the crucifixion in Matthew. We're getting close to the end of Matthew. And as we all know, the week before he died, he came into the city riding on a donkey. which Isaiah spoke and prophesied, till the daughter of Zion, behold, the king is coming to you slowly, lowly sitting on a donkey, a colt, and the foal of a donkey. And we know the Hosanna, you know, we celebrate Palm Sunday every year, you know, with our palms, and, you know, we enact, you know, the Savior coming on his donkey. But understand also in this word today, Jesus didn't play either when it came to the house of God. And so we're going to get into our word, and then we'll talk about it. You know, because God can use anyone. How can God use an imperfect person like me? We'll talk about that, too, when we get to our life answers and questions this morning. But let's get into our word, and it's in Matthew chapter 21. So please join me there. And it says this, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, when Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied up him and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my Father, my house shall not be called a house. My house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. I got to read that again. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. When you go into the house of the Lord and you see more going on than the word of God, you see somebody selling CDs over here, somebody selling shirts and hats and clothes over here, somebody in the cafe selling drinks and food and everything here. And then you see all of this stuff, and then you see the pastor's books and his CDs and his everything over here. And then you go in the service and you have a concert. And maybe 5 minutes of a word. But of course, you have often and more often and more often. And you're thinking to yourself, where's the word of God? Where are they preaching the word of God? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you being able to get a book or a Bible or something in the church. But that should not be the main focus of the church. I went into a church not too long ago, and I was amazed. You know, it doesn't look as big as it is outside. But when you go on the inside, it's huge. And they have everything out there, all of this stuff. But you're wondering in your mind, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? He threw away all of these folks. He kicked them out of his house. So we brought them all back in. They may not be selling doves. They may not be selling sheep and goats. But money is changing hands left and right to the point we're forgetting God. Now, if you're having an event and you bring in vendors and you do stuff, that's one thing. Because it's not paying the bills of the church. That is for ministry. That is for youth. That is for the vendor even. Because they're bringing a product in for the people of God to use for God's business. But when you get so caught up in the stuff that you forget to be caught up in Jesus, it becomes a problem. And when all you hear is the pastor asking for money and more money and more money because they need a new car, so they need you to donate. They need a new plane, so they need you to donate. They need to go on a trip, and they need you to donate. Everything coming out of your pocket, what's coming out of theirs, and they're the ones that are the millionaires. Think that through. Think that through. We got to be very careful who we follow. And prosperity ministry. Jesus didn't have anything to do with prosperity ministry. He said, give away. Give to the poor. Give to the needy. He said, I have no place to lay my head. And it was not in million, trillion dollar mansions on the backs of the poor that's in the congregation. We got to be careful where we go to church and who we listen to. He says, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read? Bam, back at you. Out of the mouth, come on, y'all, of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to the mountain, mountain, woo, mountain. Ooh, Jesus, I said it again. You say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Hallelujah. What are you asking God for this morning? What are you asking God for this morning? Are you praying for the homeless? Are you praying for your pastors and your teachers and your preachers? Are you praying for your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren? Are you praying for others besides yourself? Are you praying for God to heal the land? Are you praying for miracle signs and wonders in the Middle East, that there will be a revival of the Christian faith, that those will see Jesus, that there will be those that will know that the angels of heaven take care and watch over you, for Jesus Christ I live, and for Jesus Christ I will die. We know that we will someday be persecuted because we love God. Will you stand for the Lord? Will you stand for God? Or will you be like these folks screaming Hosanna to the Son of David on Palm Sunday and then how they crucify him on Thursday? We gotta be careful. What are we doing? Are we blowing in the wind? Are we standing firm in our faith? And it says, how can God use an imperfect person like me? Because I know God knows I need some work. We all do. None of us are perfect. But I love the word that Dr. Stanley gives us from Matthew chapter 21, verses 22. And it says, which that verse again is this. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. Once you have accepted Jesus Christ, God's Holy Spirit lives in you. Through him, God enables you to do everything you ask, making the possibilities for service limitless. Again, remember, we are servants of God. Have you been sitting on the sidelines because you have let sin and shame discourage you? Perhaps you feel as though God can't use your broken vessel. Don't let your feelings overshadow the truth. God is big enough to forgive you, restore you, and use you to restore others. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once you have confessed and turned from your sins, you are cleansed. But God does not purify you and empower you with his spirit merely to make you feel good. Come on now. God's purification process fulfills the scriptures and equips his children to service. The question is not, do I have the power? It is, how will I use that power? Once you're asking the right questions, consider a few prerequisites to answering it. Number one, conviction of inadequacy. This is more than merely feeling as though God can't use you. If you walk in the flesh and it's not simply knowing that God alone is sovereign, it is knowing and acknowledging that without the Holy Spirit, you are incapable, unwilling, and too weak to do what he asks of you. Purify purity of life. Don't confess purity with perfection. Purity is continual, immediate confession of and repentance, prayer. When you willingly and genuinely acknowledge your inadequacy, you will consistently reach up to God. Through prayer, you know that he is your lifeline and that you cannot live without him. Believe. Jesus tells us, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. We just read that. When you ask according to God's will, he answers. You must believe that he will do what he says. Did he not tell us in his word, I will never leave you or forsake you? You got to stand on that word. I stand on it daily. The Lord will never leave me. The Lord will never forsake me. We got to have that word in our heart and in our spirit. Engage in service. God has given you that power of the Holy Spirit. And he wants you to be eager to use it, whether for ministry to one person or to many. The power of God's Spirit changes lives. God was big enough to transform your heart, save you from bondage to sin, He is also big enough to cleanse you, help you rise above discouragement, and use you to influence the lives of others, all for his glory. Never think that you are less than. You are just as good as anybody else. We all were lost in sin. We all fall short. Nobody is better than anybody else. If God calls you, let him work in you. As the word said on yesterday, many are called, but few are chosen. As you accept your calling, know you are chosen by God for such a time as this. There are many out there who are sitting in a pew who need to go to work. It's time to go to work for God. Whatever it is that you needed to do, just do it. Matthew chapter 21, verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. God is serious about fulfilling his word. If he makes sure, and he makes sure, that even little prophesied details take place. Matthew chapter 2, verse 15, Matthew chapter 13, verse 35, John 19, 24, and 28. And it says, and I'm just giving you those scriptures to go back and check this. So then we can expect that he will surely fulfill all the big ones. God fulfills the little as well as the big in prophecy. Never think that a prophetic word will not go forth, because it will. Whatever God sends a prophet to speak to you, if they are a genuine prophet, it will come to pass. Now, there's a lot of prophet liars out there, and they stuff is not coming true. You can guarantee that one, too. In Matthew 21 and 12, it says, Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all who brought and sold in the temple. God feels passionate that his name be honored and that his people be treated well. His silence may unnerve us at times, but he overlooks nothing and lets nothing slide. The day of his justice is coming. The day of the justice of God is coming, and we must believe it and know that God is true and that he loves us. But I will tell you one thing. He will surely chastise you. When he loves you, he will tear you up. I'm going to tell you that. Then tore up to the from the floor, and it was God that picked me up and dusted me off. And we got to go back into Matthew chapter 2, verse 15. It says, and this is dealing when they left Egypt. It says, and it was there until the death of the earth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. And we know that when Jesus was a baby, his family fled to Egypt. They went back to Egypt for safety. And then when God was ready, he called Joseph and Mary and Jesus and whatever sons and daughters they may have had at that time. He called them back into Canaan. And when we go over to Matthew chapter 13, verse 35, it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And Jesus spoke always in parables. And they asked, why do you speak that way? And it was because it was the fulfillment of a prophecy. Jesus was the perpetuation of everything that was spoken. And when we go to John chapter 19, verse 24, it says, they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for who it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they parted my remnant among them, and for my vestments they did cast soldiers dead. As Jesus was dying on the cross, they were casting lots for his death. Chapter 19 of St. John. verse number 28. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, and the scripture, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. And we know what happened. Very shortly after, and I'm going to go ahead and read the next two verses. It says, now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon his eye and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Whew. What a word. What a word this morning. Thanking God for this holy word. And thanking God for each of you. If there's anyone that has a word that God has given them, now's the time to push the one on your phone if you are calling in, or to dial 213-943-3597. Hallelujah. And as we wait, if it is God's will for someone to speak, we go to our prayer for today. Mother, your line is open. And it says this,
you know what?
First stone.
What I like, Pastor, is what you were saying to the children, to your sons, that they had to work. But you know what? In the beginning, God worked. He created the earth. God worked. And on the sixth day, he rested. So if God worked and we're created in the image of God, it means that we have to work. And I think about what he told Adam and Eve. Adam had to tend the garden. So work, everybody should work. You said if a man don't work, he shall not eat. But I like the fact that our God, he worked. He worked 6 days.
Amen.
And on the seventh day, he rested.
Yes.
So God wants us to work, and he wants us to rest.
Amen.
I love that. And Adam and Eve, they had to tend the land. So it was a beautiful word for the day. Wonderful word for the day.
And as we go back into the word, it says this, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And this is the word for this morning with John 8:7 for our prayer. And it says, first stone. When they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. And that's John 8:7, NASB. And the prayer for this morning as we get ready to wrap up is, merciful Father, you are so patient. I, on the other hand, struggle to forgive those who have hurt me. When I look at the example that Jesus set and the way he not only forgave those who tortured and hurt him, but also called others to compassion, I can't help but question my reactive heart. Baptize my heart with your love, so patience, compassion, and grace would be an overflow of your life inside me. You are the source of every resource I need for every situation and person I face. There is no one that can exhaust the limits of your great affection. I want to be found there, swimming in the depths of it. I cannot give away what I don't have myself. Lord, so fill me again today. I am humbled by your great patience and challenged by your advocacy of the poor, hurting, and voices. I join myself to you today, Jesus. I ask for vision to see those around me with eyes of compassion, backed up with a heart call to action. And our question for the day is this. What stones have you been ready to hurl at others that you can lay down today? It's time to hold your peace. And as we go into a word from Sister Carolyn, as we wrap up this morning. And Sister Carolyn has said this. God has a purpose for your pain, a reason for your struggle, and a gift for your faithfulness. Don't give up. Have a worry-free Wednesday. What a word. And as we wrap up again, family, may the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearers of this word. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and glorious day. Because what is it? It's time to go to work, Mother. It's time to go to work. And as we say together, it is a wrap today. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Thank
it's
you
wrap.
For listening
Everything
in. I know.
It's a wrap.
Have a blessed day. It's a wrap, Mother.
It's a wrap.
God bless you. And God, and I thank you for co-hosting this morning. I pray that Mother will be back with us on tomorrow. Have a great day, family, and be blessed. It's a wrap.